Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be
good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay man. If you have any questions or any suggestions that you would like to write into, just send it to me at bonkaye@aol.com, that's bonkaye@aol.com. Well, it's time to start the season again, and I'm really excited. Been off for the winter, now we're resuming spring. It's a time, really, for people to feel growth and feeling like they're moving on, and I know with the spring weather, a lot of people are so optimistic. We've been living in a very dark bubble for the last year with coronavirus, and now people are starting to free themselves up and get out and get into the good weather, and so I'm really excited about that, and all I can say is that it's a time of optimism as far as I'm concerned, and I'm hoping you're feeling that way too. I have a wonderful guest here tonight, my friend Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, Bonnie. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for doing our show again. Are you feeling optimistic with the spring weather?
Here in Florida, it's always been beautiful. So I don't get the change of seasons anymore, but It's still a pretty time of year. Yes.
It's a pretty hot time of year, right?
Yeah, but you get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm never going to have that opportunity, but I like it cold, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad your body can take it. But thank you again for coming back on the show. I know that, once again, this has been a tough year for a lot of people with coronavirus, and especially for people who are in our kind of marriages, that are abusive kind of marriages. when, you know, they've been kind of stuck with somebody and unable to make a move because of what's going on. And I think that just puts a lot more pressure on people. And, you know, we recently came out with our new edition of our Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, Part 3 book, you know, back in February, March. And you were kind enough to contribute to that story. And your story really had an impact on many of the women who have written to me about how much they felt inspired by your attitude and by what you've gone through. So maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about your story, where it begins and how it ends.
Sure. I was married for 42 years before I discovered that my husband was gay. And I had a happy marriage. I cannot say that I was unhappy. We never fought. We had a what I thought was a great marriage. But I also look back now, it was more like we were always best friends. And I look back now and I can see where, you know, it was more like he was my best friend or buddy rather than me being his wife or his lover. But at the time, I got married so young. I knew no differently. And he treated me well. And we had great times together. But once I discovered, you know, it took me a while, obviously, after being married for 42 years, but I trusted this man. He never gave me any reason not to trust him. And so, you know, dealing with that betrayal, once I discovered gay porn magazines, gay websites, I discovered medical records where he contracted hepatitis B. One of the things I want to say to all the women out there who discover that their husband is gay or have been having affairs with men is to get tested, regardless of what they may tell you. And that's the first thing that I did. I went and got tested. And then it was just a process. It's such a long process from going from the betrayal and the trust. And that was probably, you know, a lot of people say, tell me, the women I've talked to, they're so angry and they become so bitter. I want to say my emotion was more of overwhelming sadness than being angry or being bitter, because I truly love this man for 42 years. But I have come to the realization that I love the man that he pretended to be, and now I know who he actually is. And I still deal with issues, but I've come so far the last year. But, you know, the issues I deal with, it's very hard to realize that I was used for 42 years. I was used. I was used as a cover. And that is, you know, he cast me in the role of wife, and he played the role of a straight husband, which he definitely wasn't. So I have those issues that still affect me today, is dealing with trust, trusting someone. I also have the issue of sometimes I question, you know, well, what is love? I thought I loved this man for 42 years, and how can you love, you know, he certainly didn't love me the way I loved him. So those are the things, you know, there's leftovers from this. You know, I've come such a long way, and I'm happy with my life, but you know, I had to, the first gift I gave myself was a gift of acceptance, and I had to accept that he is gay. And even if you can't accept that your husband is gay, accept that he's not going to be faithful to you, you know, so that's reason alone to get out of a marriage. And that, you know, I was just gaslighted for so many years. I believed everything he told me. I would catch him in little lies, but I never thought he would lie to me. I just thought he had a bad memory. You know, so I excuse things that, you know, just, so sometimes I look back on myself and I get very upset with myself, like, oh, why didn't I question this? Or why didn't I look back on my past and I think, you know, my memories are tainted with lies. But if I go down that path, which I refuse to go down that rabbit hole of being bitter and angry, that is not going to do me any good whatsoever. And I knew instantly when I discovered this that I knew I was going to divorce him, because I knew what I wanted in my life. And I went to a counselor for a very short period of time, and I stopped it didn't take me too many sessions to realize, because he made me realize two things, the manipulation that I was under with my husband. But he asked me the question, Cindy, what do you want? And I knew the answer to that. And I knew I wanted honesty, truth, integrity in my life, and happiness. And I knew if I stayed with him, I was never going to get that. So I knew what I had to do, and I just did it. I was going to divorce him, and I just started to concentrate and focus on me and what I wanted in my life. And I think one of the things that probably helped me the most was getting out of myself and getting out of my own misery. And I just did volunteer work and think church activities that helped me give to others and do visits with the elderly and in nursing homes. So that helped me tremendously. And just developing new interests and fostering new friendships. So I really focused on me and develop and establishing a new life for myself. That was my focus.
I think it's important to bring up this topic because of the fact that all of us have marriages that are different. Most of us have marriages that are not good. Many of us have marriages that are abusive. You were not in that particular situation on the surface. On the surface,
not at all.
You didn't even realize what was going on. You just thought you had a
right.
good friendship, and maybe he was absent sometimes, or maybe he wasn't available when you needed him. But basically, you were very close, and there was no abuse going on per se, no overt abuse, I'll put it that way. He wasn't knocking
None.
You down or making you feel bad about yourself, right?
Absolutely not. But, you know, I worked too, and my job was demanding. I traveled a lot, so I focused on my career, but I also had three kids. So, you know, I felt I lived a fulfilled life, and we had, you know, we traveled, we did everything together. I mean, I had friends that looked at our marriage, you know, and told me, I want what you have, Cindy. I mean, that's, you know, we made a great team. But, you know, now I look back and I realize, and I didn't realize what I was missing until, you know, I'm in a new relationship now and things are so much different. Because now the major difference for me is this relationship I'm in now is genuine and honest and true. And I didn't have that in my other relationship. But you don't know unless, you know, what do you have to compare it to? And I was so young, you know, so I didn't realize, you know, there were just little things that would happen throughout, and I just would pause and think, you know, he'd go off, it might be our 35th wedding anniversary, and he would go off to babysit the grandkids. And I'd look at him like, well, it's our anniversary, and he'd go, oh, we'll celebrate when I come back, but we never did. You know, and I thought, well, I'm being selfish, you know, maybe, you know, the grandkids need to be babysat, that, you know, little things like that. But I realized I always put my children first and I put my husband first, but he didn't do that with me, you know. So there were just things that I just accepted that's how he was, and I didn't have anything to really complain about. So, yeah, I was just blindsided is the only truly blindsided and realized the manipulation that I was under. I mean, I would come home in my house. I sensed that someone was in my house because I keep a very neat house. And like I'd go up and one of the bedrooms was in disarray in the bed. And I said something to him, well, you know, was someone here? Oh, no, I laid on that bed. I had a headache. And I'm thinking, now I look back and realize somebody's in my house. You know, and I could tell that, you know, there were times when, you know, he would get phone calls and step outside. And I thought, you know, it was odd that he would be stepping outside. And then he would leave and come back in an hour. It was strange, but I would just accept it. I didn't question it because now I look back and I realize, you know, there was more going on than I, you know, there was just more that I didn't know.
And even though there were things going on up until, let's say, the last couple of years, was gay ever running through your mind?
Absolutely not, ever. Never, because he would make And I think I told you this before, but, you know, if an attractive woman would walk by, he wouldn't even look at a woman that walked by that was attractive. And I took that as being respectful toward me. But he would make inappropriate gay jokes. And it just wasn't, you know, I didn't know why he had to make gay jokes. I just didn't find them humorous, and what was the point? So, you know, he was homophobic. But never did I realize. I mean, he was quarterback of his high school football team. You know, he was, you know, never, there was no signs that he was gay whatsoever, none, until, and that's what was so frustrating, until 42 years later when I make this discovery, once I was alerted to the hepatitis B diagnosis by a medical doctor, I never said anything for 3 months. I just, you know, I got on his computer, I found passcodes, and I discovered these sites, and I discovered gay porn, and that's when I knew there was no way that he could explain all this. And I waited 3 months before I confronted him, and once I did, he still denied and denied and denied. And I tried to make sense of his nonsense, because you want to believe his lies. I wanted so badly to believe him. I wanted so badly that it was, but he just kept lying, and I just knew. I said, this is just not going to work. I just, you know, as I said before, I divorced the man I loved. And who does that?
Did he ever admit to you at all at any point?
Slowly, but yes, now he has. But it started out initially when I confronted him. He was just bi-curious. Then he told me he was bisexual. Then he told me it only happened one time. But now he has accepted that he is gay. He chooses not to lead what he calls an active gay lifestyle. So he is truly dating women and dating men. And that's his life, and that's his mess. you know, I've distanced myself from him, except for staying in a relationship with him because of my grandchildren and my children. But probably the best progress I've made this year is detaching from him more and more and more, because I still cared about him in an odd sense. You know, I didn't, you know, it was hard to stop caring about somebody you loved. But I've slowly decided he's no longer my responsibility. And that was hard just to let go. It was just hard to let go of someone you once loved for 42 years. But I have let go, you know. The further he gets away, the distance I have, the better I am. You know, so that has helped tremendously, is distancing from him.
Cordial, now, did your children know anything at all? Have you talked to your children about this?
You know, he was never, when I first confronted him and they knew we were getting a divorce, I first told him there's trust issues and to talk to your father. That did not satisfy them whatsoever, and he was never going to share anything with them. So I knew it fell on me. So I did share with my children that he was struggling with sexuality issues, and if they had any further questions, you know, to talk to their dad. One of my daughters called me, and she was just so distraught. So I shared some information with her that now I regret sharing with her, about her father, that, you know, he was on certain websites, and I feel that he was having sexual encounters with other men. I wish I didn't tell her that kind of information, because she's held it somewhat against me at this time, and it's been a strain on my oldest daughter's relationship, mine and hers, but she also is having a difficult relationship with her father. So she was one of my other two children. They treat me with love and kindness. My oldest daughter is struggling, really struggling, because she idolized her father, idolized him. And it's very, very, I don't know how to help her. And it's just, it's been very, very difficult on her. And a little bit, I think I even wrote this in my storyline when I wrote my story, that not to use your children as support systems, you know. It's not, you know, just don't do it. And I do my best to speak, you know, in kind words about their father, because he has always been there as a father, and he's a grandfather, and he's very engaged with his grandchildren. And so I can't fault him. And this is their father. I do not want them ever to lose the love or respect for their father. And I think that's part of the problem, is they have lost respect for their father. And I can't help them with that. So that's the difficult
part. No, I think it's important, as you were saying, it's really important to try to know where to balance what to say and what not to say. I mean, you don't have to keep things a secret, because it does affect your life. But I think it's important to try to build up the way, never to knock down the father if you don't have to. And I'm saying if you don't have to, and not for his sake, but because children need, you know, they're made out of two parents. If you're knocking their father, they feel you're knocking them. And, you know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to put them in a worse position. But unfortunately, I've seen this happen so much with women in our group, that some of the children will be totally understanding and loyal to their mothers, and others will be totally angry and just loyal to their fathers. You know, as if they feel there's something wrong with their dad has a sickness or an illness, and that they have to take care of them. Because by nature, many of women are just nurturing and caring women, and they feel that, you know, life has given this to their dad, and they feel sorry for them. And I understand it. Look, my daughter, when she found out her father was gay, she really went to him and hugged him, and, you know, she really felt sorry for him. And I think that's normal. A lot of times with children, they feel sorry for the parent. And they feel that we're the ones who are in some way hurting them, even though it's not us. But in their own minds, you know, they run to the defense of their fathers as if we've done something to hurt their fathers. And I think that just complicates things. It's just one of the hard things here, one of the hard issues that we have to go through as women. Right?
Yes. Absolutely. Because you want to protect your children. You know, I never wanted them to get hurt in this. And I realized, you know, more and more that it has affected their lives. As I said, especially my oldest daughter. Yes.
But I know that the children I work with, many of them come from, you know, many of them come out of this having the same issues that we're having. Can we trust anybody? You know, all of a sudden the trust issues are built up, and my dad was lying to me all this time. And why was he doing that? Why couldn't he be honest with me? And, you know, I've seen so many mixed up stories of, you know, young adults growing into adulthood who now have issues with trust within their own relationships. And it really hurts me when I see that, because, once again, you know, they have so many other things they have to deal with. And my heart really goes out to them.
Yeah. And, you know, absolutely. And I deal with trust issues, too. You know, it's me that has the problem with it. You know, with trust now. You know, someone that I thought my ex-husband would never, I mean, he was the one person that I counted on, that I, you know, had trusted, that I knew would always be there for me. And so I was just devastated. I mean, and I still look back and can't at times, you know, I've accepted it now, but it's still with me today, trust issues. And, you know, I try my best. At times I just have to pause and realize, okay, wait, Cindy, this is me. Just give myself some breathing space. But trust is a big issue for me. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I know that I heard from a young lady last week, and my heart really goes out to her. I mean, she's the daughter of a gay man. And she said that, you know, in her own relationships, they were abusive. you know, because she was role modeling after what her mother, you know, was living through. And one of the things she said, I still suffer from a lot of shame and guilt and struggle to talk about that side of my father, even to my husband. A lot of my friends don't even know. I'm hoping a support group of adults who have had experiences can help me on this journey. And I think that we really underestimate the pain that our children are going through with this, because they're dealing, a lot of times they don't want to talk about it, or they don't want to talk to you about it because they know you've already been hurt, and they don't want to put, you know, fuel on the fire there to make you feel more hurt. And so many of them kind of suffer on their own. And I know that for a short time I had run a adult group, you know, for adult children, and the group kind of fizzled out because people, you know, had so much damage and so much hurt that they didn't want to discuss, and they were hoping it would just go away. And my heart really goes out to these kids because a lot of times I feel they can't tell us or they're afraid to tell us how they're really feeling. But these marriages do a lot of collateral damage. It's not just to us. It's to the whole family on how we view life and, you know, in our own relationships as well. The only thing I will say on a good note for Cindy, Cindy really has gone through this beautifully as far as putting her life back together in a short amount of time. A lot of people take a lot longer, you know, to go through all the stages that you have to for grieving. And thankfully, you know, Cindy has gone through it with grace and with dignity. But also you've moved on to a new relationship, correct?
I have, you know, and I'm kind of surprised that it happened so quickly for me because my first, what I focused on, because this happened at the age of 63 when I discovered all of this, and I seriously wasn't looking to get into another relationship. My focus was on myself and building myself a life, and I knew what I just focused on what I wanted to do, and I traveled because I like to travel. I found some solo groups to travel with. I found a church. I started volunteer work. I started to get involved with social activities. So I established my own life. I was working out at a gym, you know, two hours almost every day. So I really focused on me. And the last thing I was thinking of doing was even getting involved in another relationship because I didn't think I was ready. So I had a few first dates I had met through playing pickleball or, you know, and I just went on one date. I wasn't ready. I said, I don't want this. But then I met a gentleman that as soon as I met him, there was something that instantly I just knew he was a man of integrity and honesty. And, you know, I was kind of just drawn to him, and I don't know why. But, you know, we've been seeing each other for a year. And I guess I just want to say this relationship is very genuine. And just the way he treats me is so differently from what I've been used to, you know. It's more of, it's so hard to explain, but I guess just being treated like a woman, being desired as a woman, but just being cared for. And I trust him. I trust him, but I don't always trust myself. So I'm struggling with that. And I think at times he may realize how fragile I am. And I think he knows my story. He's sensitive to it, but there are times where I have trust issues. Oh, you know, does he really care about me? And those sort of things. And I don't want him to feel like he constantly has to reassure me. But those are my issues and not his. And if I get my feelings hurt, I speak up and I let him know he hurt my feelings on something instead of not expressing that, you know, I used to hold that in and now I will share if my feelings are hurt about something. So it's just a process. But again, if it's the trust issues you have moving on in a new relationship. And then I struggle a lot with as odd as it may sound, I struggle a lot with what is love. You know, those were my two biggest issues, trusting and then what is love. because this man that I thought I loved for 42 years, you know, I look back and think, that is not love. You know, that is not love. So
Was it love on your part, though?
Yes, it was. But now that I look, the kind of love I have for this man is so different.
Exactly.
It's different because I'm in a heterosexual relationship, probably. But it's different because it's genuine. And with my husband, it was not genuine. And, you know, I knew that early on that there was something different about him, about my ex. There was just something that, you know, as I said before, I felt more like my ex-husband's best friend and buddy rather than his wife or lover. And
mm-hmm.
with this man, I feel like I am, you know, I'm in a committed relationship. He is more to me than a companion, but he is someone that I trust. I know is genuine. I know he's honest. It's just integrity is there. That's another word, too. There's just integrity, which I didn't have that before when I look back.
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
But of course, we don't know that as you're going through it, because once again, when you're in a decent relationship, I'm not saying it's a perfect relationship, but it was decent with a good friend who always made you feel supported as a friend, and you got
right.
married so young. And what did we know from marriage 42 years ago? I mean, let's be honest. How old were you when you got married?
I was 20. Only 20.
Right, you were a baby. You were a babe.
Yes.
At 20, we know nothing. And so it's easy to confuse somebody into thinking that whatever they're telling you is love is love. And even if you're not having sex in your relationship in time, it's easy to convince somebody, well, all marriages lose that, you know, lust. And it becomes a friendship, and that's what relationships are about. Would you say that's true?
Right. Yeah.
It's easy to be
absolutely.
Pulled into that thinking.
I did. You know, we had kids, and, you know, I just went along with everything. You know, I look back now, and I realize, you know, you could, and that's what you do a lot of. You reflect back, and I go, oh, you know, then I realize, okay, that's what he was doing, or that's where he was, or, you know, now I see things that I just didn't see before.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, and again, it came down to trusting someone. Like, I would have never, never looked in my husband's suitcase after he came home from a business trip, or I would never look in his briefcase, or I would never look at messages on his phone, never. I trusted him. But after I had accidentally discovered and I started looking, it was, it was shock. It was just shock. But I think that's what it is, to think that you know someone that you live with for 42 years and then come
uh-huh.
to the realization, you didn't know this man. I don't know who this man is. That's what's scary. You know, it's just, and that's what makes you not trust yourself. So, you know, and to this day, I don't trust him. You know, I look at him and I don't trust, you know, when we talk about the kids and things, my limited contact with him, I still don't trust anything he tells me. So,
one of the things that we should, you know, conclude, you know, or come to a conclusion about, and this is not a knock on anybody, but it's the reality of what the situation is. Gay men lie. Gay married men lie. If you show me a man who's married and gay, he's lying to his wife. You know, unless he's totally out in the open, which hardly ever happens. But most of them are liars. They live day-to-day lies. Their whole life is a lie. They're always covering up their lies. And so how can you ever trust them? You know, where do you know what to trust and what not to trust? And that's the problem. You know, everything that comes out of their mouth, they're covering up one lie with another lie with another lie.
Yeah.
And it's very discouraging when you really think about all the times you've been lied to and all the different ways you've been betrayed.
And you'll never get an apology, you know. So for women out there waiting for an apology, just forget about it. You don't need that.
Well,
from them,
you know why you're
not going to
get an apology? Because they're not sorry. You know, they feel that they've dedicated their whole life to you when they could have been out there having their authentic life. You know, they stuck in with their families. And if anything, they're resentful that they gave up the best years of their life where they could have been with somebody who would have made them really happy, or they could have been living a different kind of life. They end up resenting us. I mean, they don't end up feeling sorry, you know, for what they've done.
Right. Right.
And that's the sad part. You know, they really are not sorry at all. So if you're waiting for an apology, they don't feel they have anything to apologize for. Right?
And my ex told me he was a good husband. So.
Oh, they all think they were. They all think they were good husbands because they paid the bills. You know, they paid some bills out there. And, you know, I don't know what their version of a good husband is. You know, to me, a good husband is someone that you can love and trust with your life and who will take care of you. I mean, I'm not saying they don't pay a few bills, but that doesn't qualify them as being a good husband, right?
Or being loyal and faithful might be on the list. But, you know, even to this day, I had contact with him a few weeks ago, and he wanted to know why we couldn't be friends. Because he goes, the only time you're in contact with me is when we're something with the kids or the grandkids. And he wanted me to be a friend.
Uh-huh.
And even my friends won't treat me like that. My friends are truthful with me, or they're not my friend. So, you know, but, you know, you reach a point, too, where, and it took me a long time to get there. I felt so sorry for him. And even to this day, sometimes I feel so bad for him and such pity for him. But then I realized, you know, I have to take care of myself. And this is the first time, you know, that I realized I have to take care of myself. It's no longer about him. It's no longer about, you know, what he did to me. About moving forward for myself and making the best life for myself that I can make. So, you know, I've said in my story, and I choose happiness over the bitterness, over the anger. I just want happiness, and I got that now, you know. But you have to make the choice for yourself, you know. You do. Don't live in the past. Move onward. And that's what I did. I moved onward. And for me, I'm 66 now, and I'm happy. This happened at 63, you know, so the first year's the worst for me, you know, was for me. But after that, you get by that acceptance, and you just keep moving on, you know, you just onward.
Right. I think a lot of times the recovery time is really based on your marriage. For those women who had abusive marriages for all those years, it does take longer to recover. And we acknowledge that. No two people heal the same, you know, rate or at the same time. And that's not to negate anything that you said or to make you feel minimalized in any way.
Right.
You know, you went through your own hell. But sometimes it's just easier to walk away when you didn't have all the emotional abuse and gaslighting and, you know, making you think that you're crazy all the time and being overtly abusive to you, criticizing you and knocking you down. You know, that kind of abuse just wears on your soul, and that does take longer. So people shouldn't feel that because I haven't recovered in 2 years or 3 years that there's something wrong with me. You may need some extra help. You may need some extra therapy. You may need, you know, some assistance, and I have plenty of good resources if you're in that situation. No one should have to suffer alone. We have a lot of support. The women who are part of our support network are the most wonderful women.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to me how wonderful they are in our group, you know, who can share experiences and learn from experiences. So if you need help, you know, all you have to do is write to me at bondk@aol.com. And I'm happy to hook you, you know, into our group if it's the right match for you. And getting all the support you need during this time is what helps you move on. And I see that you're doing a great job. And, you know, you're one of our star achievers here of finding a happy new life, which I'm really excited about. And I appreciate the fact that you're always willing to share with other people your experiences. One of the things I'm really excited about, because I didn't mention it when I announced the show, is that I'm planning on having another healing weekend in October here in Philadelphia. It's going to be my last hurrah because of, you know, my own health issues. But a lot of women, after the pandemic, they're really feeling that need to connect with other women. So I'm very excited. You know, the end of October, we're going to be having our healing weekend. If anyone is interested, to write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll put you on my mailing list as we're getting ready to get that group together. And I'm really excited because you're going to be coming, right?
Yes, absolutely, Bonnie. I'm looking forward to it. And that's what helped me tremendously. 2-3 years ago, it was out in L.A. when I first met you, and that's what helped me tremendously to move onward.
That's the whole thing. I think when you see what other people are going through and you make that connection, that you really feel that you're not alone or you're not the only one going through this. This is a kind of unique experience that most people don't understand, that is not given the correct attention, that, you know, you'll feel very often that we're minimized with the cause that we have, and that people are more interested in, you know, your authentic gay husband than they are in the suffering that you've gone through with these marriages. And that's why it's really important to connect with other women who understand exactly what you're going through, because that's the only road to healing, is to make that connection so you can move ahead. And you're doing
Absolutely.
Such a beautiful job. So, I mean, are there anything else that you want to add, any other words of encouragement before we end our show?
Oh, I just want to say it does get so much better. You know, the first year, the shock of it is just the overwhelming sadness. That is the toughest part. But once you accept and take care of yourself and move, you know, you move onward, make good decisions, and do the best you can for yourself.
Yeah, look for support. You know, look for help. Don't feel that you have to do it on your own, because you don't. This is a situation that millions of us face, and yet we all feel so isolated when we're going through it. When you started going through it, did you feel like you were the only one going through this?
I did. You know, what helped me was you referred me to Dr. Hooper, and I saw him a few times. He helped me with acceptance and, you know, accepting the reality. And he also helped me recognize the manipulation that I was under, because I was trying to explain all these explanations and excuses my husband was giving me, and he just called me out on it and said, wait a minute.
Uh-huh. You know?
So that helped me face my reality. But then I had a few close, trusted friends I took in my confidence, and I needed them. And they were there for me. You know, most of my friends, you know, there were 3-4 friends that knew every detail of what I was going through. And without them, I couldn't have gotten through it. Which brings me to my last thought,
that this is not your secret to keep. You know, women a lot of times say, I can't talk about it, you know, it's his secret. No, it's not your secret to keep. You need support. You need friends. You need, you know, people to turn to. That is the privilege that you have of being in this situation. You don't have to hide it.
Right, right. And, you know, most of my friends don't know the details. They don't need to know. I told my, most of the friends I have, you know, feel, I told them we got divorced because of trust issues, and I left it at that. But I have 3 or 4 friends that were there for me, and I needed them, and they were there for me. So,
that's what counts, if you have people you can count on. Exactly.
You need a support. You need a support
system. We're
going
to have to say goodbye at this point, Cindy, because the show is ending in a few seconds. But listen, thank you so much for being on it. If you want to read Cindy's story, you can go to Amazon and buy Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, number 3. Cindy's story is in there. Cindy, I can't wait to see you in October.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you so much. I love you, and I'll be talking to you soon. So all of our listeners, good night, and I'll be back with you next Sunday night. Good night, everybody. Good night, Cindy.